on when the heat gets put on. Now, we looked at the first a couple of Sundays ago on when the heat gets put on in the faith or in the stand of our faith. And so we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then last week, we looked at when the heat gets put on in the sorrow of our storm. And we looked at Job last week. And boy, I tell you what, you just never know what you're going to face the next week. And boy, I didn't know what folk was going to face in this church after preaching on that. And I told my wife, I said, God knows, amen, and knows what people need. Thank God for that. But this morning we're going to preach, having a thought, God being our helper on when the heat gets put on, when the scripture is revealed to us. You've got to do something with scripture.
Amen.
Do you know that? When it either gets revealed, when you read it, or when it's preached or it's taught to you, you got to do something with it.
Amen.
You either got to accept it and heed it, or you got to deny it and not do it. Amen. One or the other, but the heat's going to get put on. So let's look in Jeremiah chapter 23 and look in verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces. Now take your Bible and back up to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, look in verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 11. And the Bible says, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. What are they saying when they belied the Lord? That word belied means falsely represented or counterfeit. Listen, they're saying that when it said that they have belied the Lord, that God did not say what Jeremiah said. God did not say that judgment was going to come. God did not say that Babylon was going to carry us off. God did not say those things. And that's what they were saying. And so we look right here, and the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. As you can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. Help us while we preach. We certainly need some help. And Lord, we have a way that we think in our mind this morning that you'd have us to go. But Lord, we want to follow in that the Holy Spirit and that of the Lord. And God, I pray that you just help. Lord, no doubt there may be some folk here that's lost, that does not know you. I pray they'd get saved this morning. And Lord, that you would encourage them and that in salvation. Now, God, I pray that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh, and that for just a little while. And Lord, I know there's folk traveling, folk sick, and folk hurting this morning where death has come. Would you please help them? Now again, I ask for your help during the preach hour. And Lord, we're going to give you the glory for it all. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray and ask you to save that sinner that's nearest hell. Amen and amen. Now, one other thing. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 35. And then we'll preach a little while. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Now, this is a time in Josiah's kingdom. Josiah's king at this time. I love that name, Josiah. And my wife, when we were talking about having youngins, I said, I want to name them Josiah. She said, if you wouldn't say it, Josiah, just have it out there and emphasize that Si part. She said, we might do that. She never did like that, you know. But it was in his kingdom right here, the last great king that Judah ever had. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35, I want you to look. Is it 2 Chronicles 35 where I need to be? 2 Chronicles 35,
And let me look right here. Hold on just a second and make sure. Yeah, that's where I need to be. Verse 18, it wasn't reading right there for a minute. Look in 2 Chronicles 35 and 18. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. And neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He said, well, now what is the big deal and that about Josiah and that keeping Passover? Let me say that if you go back to chapter 34, you'll find out that Josiah begins to set things straight, and that in the land of Israel. He wants to serve God. He's 8 years old when he begins to serve God. In verse 3 of chapter 34, the Bible said that in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God. And it reads on down, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. And so you'll find that Josiah began to set things straight in the land of Judah. And when he got done with that, when he took out all the groves and all the idols that were there, he turned his attention and that to the house of God. And he began to repair and that the temple. And so we find that, first of all, he tore out the great big things that he knew that ought to be took care of. You know, when you get saved, there are some things you don't have to tell people to do. Did you know that? Amen. You don't have to tell people to quit drinking. You don't have to tell people to quit cussing. They're just some things that the Holy Spirit sets up resonance on the inside and begins to tell them and show them that's what they need to do. I remember one preacher talking about a fella that got saved. Said he got saved on Sunday morning. Had long hair. Come back that night and he had her cut off. He said nobody at the church told him to do that. But said something on the inside had made a difference. Amen. And so we find that Josiah begins to take care of some things that he knows that he needs to take care of. And he turns his attention to the house of God. One that is in disrepair. It's been closed up. They've had idol worship in there from time to time. And so they go in there to repair that. Now let me say this. They had to have money to repair the house of God. Amen. Did you know that when you begin to work on your temple, it's going to cost you? Amen. Probably going to cost you some friends. And probably going to cost you some habits and some things that you want to do. Hello. But it's going to cost you. There's a cost and that to fixing the temple. Yeah. And so Josiah, they're paying in that to fix the temple. And the workers are in there. And the men of God are in there. And the scribe and the priest are in there. And while they're doing all that work, you know what they find? The Word of God. And so the Bible tells us here that in verse 14 of chapter 34, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now I can't prove it, but it was probably the book of Deuteronomy. And I'll show you why here in a minute. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. And then Shaphan, and by the way, when you work on the temple, it's work too. Amen. Some stuff just don't come easy. Amen. I'll be honest with you, it really don't come easy. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. I want you to watch in verse 19 what happens. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go inquire the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And it goes on down through that they went to see the prophetess and what she would have to say to them. And so it said he's getting word from God in verse 27. Here's what she said. Because talking to Josiah, said, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought word, or brought the king word again. Now listen, when the king had heard what was read, if you go back through here and look, you'll find that he said, or that she talked about how that wrath would be poured out, and how that they provoked God to anger, and all those plagues was going to come. And listen, that's what the book of Deuteronomy is about. Is in serving God, God would bless Israel. But if they did not serve God, then God was going to bring judgment and pestilence and all those things against the nation of Israel. Now, if I ain't mistaken, there's just 35 years between King Josiah and the days and that of Jeremiah. There's just 35 years, 40 years, somewhere in that, by the time that Josiah dies and sets things right, that Israel and Judah has already forsaken and that the Word of God. Now let me tell you today that the best book that you'll ever read in your whole life will be that Bible. Amen. It's what you need and what I need. Now, two different things. We see the contrast right here in two different times in the nation of Israel. You'll find that in the days of Josiah, that they read the word of God, and when he heard it, he rent his clothes. Not only did he rend his clothes, but what did she say over there? I said, when you heard these things, said, you humbled yourself before me, rend your clothes and weep before me, and I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Now let me say this morning, first of all, that Josiah and that realized that the word of God was right. Can I tell you something? Whether you realize it or not, Word of God's right. Amen. Does not matter what it says, it's right. Amen. Does not matter what you believe, it's right. Amen. Hey, listen, I tell you what, you ever talk to somebody that says, well, I believe it this way. Give me some scripture. Give me some scripture. Hey, listen, if you tell me you believe something a certain way, you better have some scripture for why you believe what you believe. Listen, I'm telling you today, there's reasons that I believe what I believe, and they come from the Word of God. But it's always right. Do you realize that the Word of God, that most Christians, let me say this, most believers don't want to have a lot to do with the Bible. You know why? Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even divine to the soul, piercing even divine the center of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner and thoughts of the intents of the heart. You know what that word discern means? That means to be able to choose between more than two things, to observe between them. Listen, the word of God knows what you are, who you are, what you're doing. It knows all about you, friend. And it wants to change you. And Josiah, when he heard it,
over there, when they read it to him that day, he wanted to meet what the Word of God said. He wanted to do it. Can I ask you, when is the last time that you opened your Bible up at home? When's the last time that you read your Bible at home? So you ought to get more Bible than just here.
Amen.
You ought to open your Bible at home and read it. Let me put my glasses. Boy, it got awful quiet.
Come on.
He said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I tell you that it is a shame for a Christian to have a Bible and not read it? It's a shame. You need to spend time and that in the Word of God. We are living in one of the greatest times that God has blessed us, and that was Scripture, and we don't want to take time to read it. There is people in third world countries that are saved by the marvelous grace of God. And listen, it was one of our missionaries from Zimbabwe, Brother Russell Wright, told us that there was folk over there that didn't have a Bible. I couldn't imagine not having a Bible. I've got shelves full of Bibles at my house. I mean, I couldn't imagine that. And then we won't even take the time and say that we're saved and don't even want to read what God had to say to us. Something wrong, friend. Why don't you read your Bible? Hey, you can't, you say, well, when I read it, it points out where things need to be fixed in my life. Yes, it does. It does do that. Listen, there's times that I've been in my study and I've read and seen some things, and God has opened this book and I've had to quit reading and get down on my knees and tell God I'm sorry for what I done. Why? Because this book became alive and divided and was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How much do you love the Word of God? I think you ought to love it this morning. So we find that Josiah loved it and wanted to do what it said to do. Not only that, but he stood out there and made a covenant and that with the people and made them do the Word of God. I guess when you're king, you can make folk obey the Word of God. Amen. And he was going to make them do it. But do you see, by the time we got to Jeremiah's day, God is telling them that the word that is in Jeremiah's mouth is going to be a fire, and they're going to be the wood. Why did he say that? Because they wanted nothing to do with the Word of God. Said they had belied the Lord. What they were saying was, the word that you've got is not right. These other prophets over here are saying things that we're going to be okay and that we're going to be all right. Friend, you can believe that all you want to.
Yeah.
And you can justify what you want to do all you want to, but you're not going to be all right. Now listen to me now. Listen to me. If God's Word says different than what you think, God's Word's right.
Amen.
Amen. You better get a hold of that this morning. I can't understand why I'm hanging on this. Take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms chapter 19. Look with me in Psalms chapter 19. He called him a workman that needeth not to be ashamed in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. It is a work and that to study, and we are a workman and we shouldn't be ashamed. Now it is the Word of God that brings heat into our Christian life. Remember from the beginning I told you this about being refined and about the heat being put on. I said in Proverbs chapter 25, take away the dross from the silver and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Now the finer is the man that is sitting there and applying the heat to the silver and trying to get all the dregs and trying to get all the impurities and that to the top and drag them off.
And they tell me, and I don't know this to be the truth 100%, but they tell me that he'll apply the heat and the heat and the heat and the heat and drag all the impurities off until he can look over into that pot and see the reflection of his face. If that ain't the truth, it sounds good. Amen. Amen. And can I tell you today that Christ Jesus the Lord is doing the same to us, that he's applying the heat on us, how to take the impurities out of us so that he can look over into the silver and see the reflection of his face. Look in Psalms chapter 19. Look in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Ain't that something? He said the word of God, testimonies of God, the fear of the Lord, the word of God, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, said there to be more desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Said there was a value in that to knowing the word of God. Can I tell you that there is a value to knowing the God of the word?
Right.
Amen. But there's also a value to knowing the word of God. And the way that you learn both of them is to read this book. But he said there's not only value to that, there's great value to that. What was it? I believe in the book of Colossians it talks about over here at one point when it talks about letting the word of Christ. He said let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know what that word richly means? Abundantly with value. The word of God ought to be in us abundantly, and I know there's value to it. He said that there what? Not only is there value to it, not only is there great value, not only is there most value in it or much value, he said it's also sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Not only is there value, but there's sweetness to the word of God. How many times have you ever read the Bible when you needed something from God and God just let you jump off the page at you? Oh, you're talking about, what about the times that you just wanted to sit down and read the word of God and you read it and boy, God just comes alive. And it just becomes sweet to your soul and sweet to eat and your inner man just loves it.
Yeah.
Look right here. He said, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And he said, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. See, for those who think they're perfect, you're far from it. And this preacher is too. Verse 13, keep back thy servants. Well, how does he cleanse us from our secret thoughts? How does he show us our secret thoughts? In the Word of God. He'll point that stuff out to you. If you want to know, he'll point it out to you. He really will. He said, keep thy servant, also keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, and my strength and my redeemer. You know how to do all that? Word of God. You know how to let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in the sight of God? Put the Word of God in them.
That's right.
I'm just being honest this morning. Hey, listen, how many of us are even concerned about what we meditate on in our heart and whether God's concerned about it or whether God cares? What do you think on through the week? Well, I tell you, I've got way off my outline right now. I mean, seriously, what do you think on? You think God's pleased with what you think of? Now, I know that the devil comes by and boy, he'll put stuff in our mind. I believe that. You may not believe that, but I believe that he can. And I believe that he does. I believe he monkeys with our minds sometimes. And he'll try to fool with us and mess with our minds. But you know, that's why the Bible talks about bringing every thought into captivity. When I get to thinking wrong, you know, there's been times in my life when that book was the only way that I get my thinking right. I sung all that I could sing, and I loved to sing, and I loved good songs.
But you know that there's just been times that I could not get my thinking straightened out until I got in that book. I could not get the devil away from me. I could not get it fixed. He said, "Preacher, your mind's messing." I tell my wife that I teeter on the edge of having a broke mind. And she laughs. But you know, some days I mean that. I mean, some days me and the devil are fighting and going around and slugging it out. And the only way that I know to get him to leave me alone is in the Word of God. How did the Lord Jesus get the devil away from him? He got him away with the Word, didn't he? Three times in Matthew chapter 4, he said, "As it is written." Listen, you know how you're going to get him away from you? You're going to have to get him away with the Word. But listen, the Word of God is right. Can I tell you something? Not only is it right, you need to seek it. You need to read it so that you can live right and be right. Listen, Job chapter 23. I'm telling you, when Job was in the midst of his despair and in the bottom of his very life, he said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." The Word of God's right and the Word of God's good for you. But it's right. Can I tell you, second of all, not only is the Word of God right, but it's this book that refines us.
Amen.
It does apply heat to us. If you read it, it's going to start putting the heat on you. The Bible talks about it in the book of James chapter 1. He said, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," talking about this book, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Can I tell you, ask you a question? How many times have we just read the book and walked away from it? We've not paid attention to what it had to say. We've just read it in either to say that we've read our Bible today. Listen, there are times that I'm guilty of that. And I think that sometimes I would be better off if I just didn't read at all as to read just to say that I read. What do you mean? Sometimes I think if we're not careful, we'll either read or we'll pray just to appease our conscience to say that we've done something and then walk away from it. I'd rather be under conviction for not doing it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to deceive myself or appease my conscience just to say that, well, I got a verse or I got a chapter I read today, and if you ask me what I read, I couldn't tell you. Hello?
Come on.
And just because I read my Bible does not make me no more spiritual than anybody else. But it is this book that refines us. Remember what it said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4? What did it say? "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide and asunder the soul and the spirit." You know why folk get saved? The book. I know the Holy Spirit comes and dwells or convicts, brings conviction, but how does it bring conviction? Word of God. It takes that two-edged sword and it begins to cut, and it begins to cut deep, and it begins to work in there into the heart, and it's a two-edged. It cuts in and it cuts up. It says piercing even dividing the sun of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
That thing knows you.
That's right. Amen.
That book knows how to refine you and refine me. So when you read it, the heat's going to get put on. Me and Brother Jeff has talked about this in the past. You get saved and you get around other folk that are saved, and they may not be doing exactly right, but they're doing pretty close. And I remember this. That when I was smoking cigarettes, I remember that I used to hate that verse in the Bible, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I hated that verse. I did. Why did I hate that verse? Back me up in the corner. What was it doing? It was trying to refine me and take things out of my life that didn't need to be there. See, you could talk to me all day about it, and I slid in one ear and out the other.
Amen.
You could do the same thing in one ear and out the other. But boy, when you tell me that book right there, I couldn't argue with that thing.
Amen.
I couldn't argue because I knew it was right. See, I could justify myself because I could find something wrong with you and say, well, I'm just as good as he is. I'm just as good as he is. I'm just as good as he is.
Yeah.
But boy, when you start comparing yourself into that book right there,
amen,
you see. See, it begins to refine you and work on you. Huh? I hate it. Man, I hated it. I hated that when Scripture would come and listen, why? Because it was applying the heat and that to make me into something that I didn't want to become. I didn't want to give up. But you know what? The heat just kept getting applied. You know why the heat kept getting applied? Because I was his.
Amen. That's right.
And the potter. The potter is the one who applies the pressure and the heat and that to the clay and that to make it as he wants to. And so he began to refine us in that with the Word of God. And it's when it gets into the heart that it matters. Deuteronomy 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Psalms 119, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know the only way you're going to get the Word of God into your heart is to get it through your eyes, your eye gate and your ear gate, and let it get into your mind and let it seep down into your heart, and it'll get there. As I said a few minutes ago, Colossians chapter 3, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Before you can sing, you've got to have the Word of God dwelling in your heart. Amen. Amen. So it's the Word of God that refines us. John chapter 15, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purchaseth. I remember years ago, before my next door neighbor planted a vineyard over there next to me, he had a peach orchard. And I watched him year in and year out. He would go through that peach orchard and he would prune them peach trees. And even limbs that brought forth fruit, he would prune them things off or prune them back. You say, why would he do that? So that tree would bring forth more fruit. He told me one day, he said, I prune that not only for that reason, but so that the wind could blow through there better. He said them peach trees needed wind to blow through there. I don't know if it was to dry something or to keep, I don't know what, but he said they need wind to blow through there. Hey, can I tell you, what John chapter 3, the Spirit, it talks about well, let's just go over and look at it. I want to get it right here. John chapter 3. What's he tell Nicodemus over there in John 3? I think somewhere around verse 8. It talks about the Spirit. John 3 and verse 8. What's he say over here? Let me get here. He said, marvel not, verse 7, that I said unto thee that you must be born again. Well, if you're going to get saved, you've got to get born again.
Amen.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Can I tell you that's how the Spirit really works? Is like the wind. You can't see it, but you can see the reaction of it.
Amen.
Huh? You can't see him, but you can see the reaction of the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the reaction of it because you can see them trees moving back and forth. Hey, you can't see the wind, but you can hear him, can't you?
That's right.
Huh? Can't you, when that wind gets kicked up out there, can't you hear it blowing? I'll never forget when we were remodeling the back part of the church back there years ago, and it was late in the afternoon. It was probably about 5 o'clock. I remember, man, there was a thunderstorm rolled through here like you had never seen. And that's when all them pine trees was up here on this bank, and we all stood at the door right here. And there, I don't know if it was a tornado or a straight line wind that come up, and it whooped up through here. And man, it had rained, and but you would have heard that wind blow. And not only could you see the reaction of the wind of the trees back and forth, and not only could you hear it when it blew, because man, it was a whistling and a carrying on something fierce, but then we seen the work that it done. It put them trees on the ground.
Amen.
Can I tell you the Holy Spirit's got to work that it does?
That's right.
Huh? You may not be able to see it, but you can see the reaction and the work of it. Listen, you know how he works? Out of this book right here. He said, let me read on right here. He said, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what you need? You need to be purged so that the Holy Spirit can blow through you more. Amen. Then he went on in the next verse, said, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It was by the word that he done those things. So we find that it is this book, and I'm just skimming across the top. That book, when it was read to Josiah, refined him. He rent his clothes, he wept, and he was going to change what he was doing. What about when it's preached to you? What about when it's taught in Sunday school? What do you do with it? I'm determined that some people say, well, he's just preaching. I've been in service with some, and I've probably been guilty of it myself over the years of saying the preacher is not preaching to me. You're not here by accident, friend.
Amen. Right.
And I just didn't choose to preach this message because it was in the series for the day. I talked to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, now if you want me to preach something else, you give me something else and that's what I'll preach. Amen. And what I got back from heaven was, no, preach this right here. It's what I give you. It's what I want you to do. So it's no accident that you're here today. If you need help, I've preached on how that it refines us and it looks for the things that needs to be fixed in our life and applies the heat to it. You've got to do something with it. I mean, if I preach on faithfulness, or if you read some scripture in the Bible on faithfulness, you've got to do something with it. That's just like that verse in the book of James. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You've got to do something with that stuff. And so it brings me to the last point. How do we respond to it? I mean, it's right, and it is what refines us and brings the heat into our life. He said, is not my word like a fire? Yes, it is. Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 28, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. He said, you're wise to do those things. He said in the book of Psalms chapter 19, and I've already read it, he said, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Hey, it brings rejoicing into our life. Don't you love to read the Bible and it just lighten you up and say, man, that is some great verses. To read about heaven. I love to read about heaven. I know that's where I'm going.
Amen.
I love to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it talks about, for we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, for we know, K-N-O-W, you can know some things. Little John, 1 John 5, 13, that you may know that you have eternal life. I know that I've got eternal life. I've trusted Jesus. Listen, and this book says that I have eternal life. What happens if that book's wrong? We might as well shut it and go home,
right,
friend.
Amen.
I told somebody that I was trying to remember who I was talking to. But I just believe that book's right. All my hope rests in what that book said. You wouldn't know about Jesus had it not been for that book. You wouldn't know what he done for you had it not been for that. You would not know that he went to Calvary and died for you had it not been for that book. You would know that you could be redeemed, that your sin could be free. Boy, what we got to sing this morning out of page 56 of that, grace for every need, grace to hide. Boy, I was about to get excited over our playing that bass guitar this morning. Grace to hide and cover all our sins. Ain't that something? Where'd they get that out of Scripture over there? He said, where sin did abound, in the book of Romans, grace did much more abound. Grace, grace. When I went down, by the way, my uncle passed away yesterday, Albert, Mama's brother. But when I went down, when me and Kelly went down to his house about 3 weeks ago and had cottage prayer meeting and sat down there on his couch and him in his easy chair, and I picked the guitar and we sung about 6 or 7 songs, just good old songs out of the Redback book.
Amen.
Can't hardly beat them. Amen. And I talked to the Lord about what to preach and what I was going to do. Did you say, did you go down there and preach just to you and him and your wife? Yeah. I preach the less. Amen. Get on the radio and record. You just don't ever know some days. Hey, listen, I've preached just to me and my wife before. We've been on vacation and couldn't get to church, and I've cracked my book open, whatever God's given me, and she's got the whole load. Amen. You talk to her about that. But I sat down there that night and just sat on his couch, and here's what he told me. He said, Mark, I just want you to do whatever God's put on your heart. I said, that's what I'll do. So I preached on grace. Grace to save. Grace that keeps us, and grace that helps us live, and grace that helps us cross to the other side. And boy, he had the time. He seemed to have a good time with the Word of God. I'm telling you, when you love God and you love His book, it just gives you a good time in your heart when you read it. Psalms chapter 16, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. Why, I have set the Lord always before me. How are you going to do that in this book right here? Josiah's day, they found the Word of God and wanted it. In Jeremiah's day, they had it, but they wouldn't listen to it. The Lord Jesus told them over there in Mark chapter 7, and He said unto them, full well that you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. I'm going to tell you, that's happening in a lot of Baptist churches today. I'm not picking on them, I'm just telling you how it is. The Lord told them in the book of Hosea that they were being destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and it wasn't because that they didn't have the knowledge. He said, because thou hast rejected knowledge. And He said, and I will also reject thee. They had it, but they rejected it. One last scripture, go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, and then I'm going to close. You got to do something with the Word of God. You say, I ain't going to do nothing. Yeah, you got to do something with it. When you hear it, you got to do something with it. You'll either reject it, you'll rebel on it, or you'll accept it and change. And let me say this, and I'm preaching in a negative tense today, a lot of it, because I'm talking about it refining us. And refining is not fun, especially when you're the one being refined. Amen? I don't like heat being applied. That's like a kid. That's like a kid when you're trying to get a kid to do right, and you're telling them over and over and over again, and they just won't do it. You're getting tired of telling them. They're getting tired of hearing it. And all you're thinking is if they just do it, we'd both have some peace. How do you think the Lord feels? Because you know what you're going to do if you're a good mom or you're a good dad? You're eventually going to start correcting them eventually. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look in verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. Eli is the priest at this time. And how they lay with women, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel, now pay attention, the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel. Now, he's talking about the priestly tribe, the Levitical tribe. He said, did I not pick him out of all of Israel to be my priest and to be my people and to do my job that I've required? Verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering which I have commanded in mine habitation, and honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. You say, well, he told them to stop. Yeah, he told them to stop. But I don't believe that's exactly what God had in mind. I believe he aimed for them to be removed.
Amen.
He said, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that thou shalt come upon, that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. We know that's what happened, wasn't it? Philistines killed them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in mine mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into the one of the priest's office, that I may eat a piece of bread. He said, look, I've told you. And I'm telling you for the last time, I'm going to bring this to pass. You read on in chapter 3, God speaks to Samuel and tells him, go tell Eli this right here one more time. Can I tell you, God's told us some things.
Amen.
And he expects us to do them. Amen. He expects you to live right. He expects you to live separated. Amen. Say, preacher, you're dwelling on separation. I've dwelt on separation, it feels like, for 2 or 3 months now. And I can't get away from it. He expects you men to treat you and me to treat my wife right.
Amen.
To love my wife.
Yeah.
As he loved the church, he expects you ladies to be submissive and love your husbands.
Amen.
Amen. He expects you to run and raise your house right.
Right.
He expects you to be faithful to the house of God. You know that you cannot serve God without being faithful to the house of God.
Right.
Argue with me all you want to. I can show you scripture if you'd like it. God is a local church man.
Amen.
Amen. He just tells us all that in the scripture. And what I'm saying is he's given us a book, and the reason we don't want to read it a lot of times is because it puts the heat on. When I don't want to read it, I can guarantee you there's something wrong in the heart when I don't want to read it. It'll work on you. And I'm going to tell you today, that may be what you need. Well, I know that's what all of us need, but that may be what you need, is just take your Bible and crack it open and begin to read it. Because I know within the inside of it, you not only find refinement, but you also find some help in this life. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would. Just when the heat gets on, heat gets put on through the Word of God. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? You're going to have to do something with it. Josiah, and I didn't read all that, but Josiah, when he heard it, he rent his clothes, wet before God. And he wanted to do something about it. That's why they had the Passover. Do you know that it had been some 500 years since Samuel had been a prophet in the land of Israel? 500 years they hadn't kept the Passover the way God wanted them to. Now, ain't that something? Let me tell you. We've got this book in front of us to live by. And God expects us to live back, because this is going to be the book that He judges us out of when we get to glory.
Amen.
And what are you going to do with it? You're either going to read it and abide it, or you're going to read it and not do it, or you're just not going to read it at all and live the way you want to. But you're going to have to heed this book. God's going to come knocking one day and wonder why you ain't done it. But it's a book that puts the heat on in us. And when it does, friend, instead of bucking on it and say, boy, I don't want to do what it says, won't we just get our heart tender like Josiah did? Won't we just let our heart get tender before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Just help me to do that right there and do that better. Heavenly Father, help during this invitation. Lord, there may be somebody here that's lost that needs to get saved, that does not know you. But there may be somebody here that just wants to come. And there's been some things pointed out by you and by the sweet Holy Spirit in their life that they just need to fix it. And Lord, they may want to just come and fix it today. And Lord, I pray that they will. You know the needs that's in folks' hearts today. Would you just move? Lord, I didn't preach this to be mean, and I know these. I believe most of them know that. And Lord, you know my heart. Lord, I want to follow more and more.